White, J.E. White, Emma. Preston, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, July 17, 1892. Dear children, I write you before our mail comes. The paper reports that the steamer arrived in Auckland last Thursday. It will take at least 5 days to get to Sydney, then about 20 hours from Sydney to Melbourne by cars. After the mail comes, we are all full of the matter to devour every scrap of news from America. Brother and Sister Rousseau will be our guests until the school is located. I mean to write you now, for fear I shall be overcharged after the mail comes. I am no better in health, except that I am not as weak as I was at one time. Last week, for a few days, I was somewhat relieved, but a cold, raw atmosphere was prevailing. I could not keep warm in these high rooms with a small, open grate fireplace. I had severe chills for 2 days in succession. Since that, I have had May keep close watch of my fire, and I have not suffered with cold. We all from America are obliged to wear heavier clothing here than in winter in America. Since my chills, I have been much afflicted with pain and helplessness. I fail to sleep nights, for I cannot get my body into position where I can be relieved of pain. I am not the least bit desponding or discouraged. It is the Lord that strengthens and sustains me. I acknowledge this, for it is a constant miracle. I put my trust in the Lord. I have every confidence that He will care for me. I will not distrust His goodness nor His tender compassion. He will not suffer one trial to come to me without He also gives the cup of consolation. My heart is constantly longing for God, the living God. I want to be every day bearing more of the character of Christ and to become more and more assimilated to His likeness. By beholding, we become changed into His image from glory to glory, from character to character. I want to learn to sing the praises of God in this life, that I may be ready to join the heavenly family in heaven and sing the song of redeeming love in the heavenly courts above. I am fighting battles every day, and I can say, with success, for the Lord is my helper. He is at my right hand. I refuse to worry about temporal matters. I have laid the burden upon Jesus. I cannot profitably carry these burdens. Our probation is short at best, and I am seeking to build for time and for eternity upon the solid foundation, the rock. Tempests and storms can beat upon it, and the structure will not fall because it is founded upon the rock. It comes to me in an impressive manner in the night season. See that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Hebrews 8 verse 5. It is a solemn responsibility to copy the pattern given us in all things. I read the daily papers and see the casualties by sea, the destruction of life by land, disaster and death without a moment's warning. Hundreds swept into eternity without any time to repent and seek pardon of their sins. Contagious diseases and fevers, cholera, smallpox, and various ills to which humanity is subject. Plagues are in our world, and the Spirit of God is being gradually withdrawn from the children of men. I feel in earnest to make my calling and election sure by prompt obedience at whatever cost it may be to myself. It is not for me to question why or wherefore, but to obey the word of the Lord implicitly, whatever may be my inclination or choice. I must consult neither. There is need now for everyone closely to examine himself and make his calling and election sure. What a terrible mistake will be made if we neglect the preparation essential and have not a clear title to an immortal inheritance. Will you, my children, make this your first business? Will you be more in earnest than you have ever been in your life before? Will you, united, make a covenant with God by sacrifice? You have not a moment to lose. Let everything of an earthly character be subordinate to the eternal. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. May and I have just come in from taking our ride.
The wind blew considerably, and I was most afraid to venture, but we rowed about 2.5 miles without suffering any inconvenience. I think it is best to ride out every chance I can get when it is any way safe to do so. 5 o'clock. May and I together have managed to get me in a half-sitting, half-lying position on the bed and the light on the stand. Byron Belden made me a present of a very nice lamp, a student's lamp. It is real nice, just what I needed. And here I am, with my board before me, writing to you. Willie is at Fitzroy. Emily, Fanny, and Marion now take the horse and phaeton and drive to Fitzroy to a missionary meeting. This breaks up the monotony a little for them. You must bear in mind it is January with us. It is dark early, but we are now past the shortest days.
In 4 more days we shall receive our mail from America and welcome our friends who have crossed the broad Pacific Ocean. I shall take brother and sister Rousseau to our house, for we shall know what they need, and they shall not be subjected to the dangers that have worked so disastrously for me. We may call ourselves very comfortably situated. The house is roomy, but when you are obliged to arrange for workers, you cannot crowd 2 workers into 1 room, for one would disturb the other. We have got along remarkably well. I have a small room with fireplace grate, opening into the parlor. Both are apportioned to me, but we are a little crowded, and I occupy only one. May sleeps on the lounge in the parlor with Annie, our hired girl, and when our friends from America arrive, then that room will be theirs until the school opens. We've got to crowd a little, but it will not hurt us. Next Thursday or Friday, they will come. I do not know just how I will act to see someone recently from America. I do not believe I shall shed a tear. The time was, when I would, when we first came to Preston, and I became more and more helpless. I did not understand, you see, that this might be, as I now fully believe it is, a part of the Lord's plan. And although no one in the house was the wiser for it, I felt that it was a relief to bury my head in the bedclothing and have a good cry in genuine sympathy with myself. I was taken by surprise in this kind of experience, helplessness, and I had a severe conflict to feel any kind of reconciliation to my lot. As I became worse, I began to consider, it is time for me to seek most earnestly for help from Jesus. When I committed myself entirely to God, I found rest and peace, and I have not had any wonderment or regret or murmuring since. I am a child of God. I love Jesus, and he loves me. And how precious has this love been to me. My heart is softened and subdued in contemplating the great sacrifice that Jesus has made for me, and I'm seeking most earnestly day and night for conformity to his image. I wish I could see my children and grandchildren and many friends in America, but I'm not going to think I am having a hard time, for although I suffer much pain, I am sustained and comforted. I have not the least inclination to murmur or to complain. Why should I, when Jesus reveals himself to me as my best friend? If the Lord sees fit to preserve me to take that long, dreaded trip across the waters, and we meet our dear ones once more, I will praise him for his loving kindness. I have reached that age where naturally it might be expected my life would soon close. But whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. And if my life is hid with Christ in God, then when he who is my life shall appear, I also shall appear with him in glory. I have not allowed temporal matters to trouble and distress me. My great and earnest desire is to know that it is well with my soul. If in the providence of God we shall no more meet in this life, if we can meet around the throne of God, what joy will be ours? Oh, shall you see the King in his beauty?
shall we behold his matchless charms? And shall we have that life which measures with the life of God? If heaven is worth anything to us, it is worth everything. It is worth a lifelong, persevering, and untiring effort. We must live as seeing him who is invisible. Then we will live to the glory of God. Self will die. Jesus lives in us. Let us live for God and him alone. We shall then find rest and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is no time now to let our lamps burn dim and go out. We need the oil of grace in our vessels with our lamps. Then we are ready for the Master's coming. Children, it pays to give to Jesus that which he has purchased with his own blood, the entire being. By and by, the long-sealed book of mystery shall be unfolded. We are often baffled at the Lord's dispensations. We vainly try to comprehend his ways, but they are deeper than we can fathom. I have had a deeper experience these last 7 months. Only believe has urged itself upon me. Mark 5, verse 36. The dealings of thy heavenly Father may seem dark and unexplainable to thee, but trust him who is too wise to err and too good to do thee harm.
I will try not to exercise myself in matters too high for me, but be content with knowing that the Lord will have all things to work together for good to those who love him, and we must not presumptuously seek to know how it is and why it is. Here are the lessons to be learned: simple, confiding, unreserved submission to his will. Contented, we may say, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 33, verse 4. The end is near, the mansions are made ready, and if we are faithful to our trust here, the Lord will give us a right to the tree of life, a right to the immortal inheritance. The reward is great. We will honor God by having respect to the reward prepared for every overcomer. The Lord is our helper. The Lord is our guide. If only we will ever and continually submit to his guidance. I hope and pray that you will make haste slowly, because your soul's salvation depends upon this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. This you can do earnestly, without a moment's delay. You can now, just now, make the first step. So long have you taken counsel of yourself, so long have you followed your own planning and devising, it will be difficult for you to submit all to God and commit your ways unto him, that he may direct your path. I feel in earnest in this matter, for I know that for you to put off any longer the work the Lord has left for you to do places you in the enemy's power, and where he may lead you into strange paths, to make an objectionable record in the books of heaven. Now, Edson, give yourself to the Lord without delay. Do not hesitate one moment, for if you do, Satan will frame some scheme that looks very flattering and unobjectionable, which will lead you in his way, under his supervision and control. Be in earnest in this matter. Do not let inclination balance you to do those things agreeable and pleasing to the inclination of the natural heart, and cumber yourself, weighing you down with an earthly armor, entering into business enterprises for financial gain, which will be financial loss. You have not had peace. You have been tempest-tossed. You have taken no pleasure and satisfaction in religious ordinances. You have not pressed yourself into the channel of light, that you might be one with Christ and a collaborator with Jesus,
working through his grace to be the human instrument to present messages of mercy and truth to human hearts. Messages that will be accepted by some and will work transformation in the life and in the character, so that angels in heaven are filled with joy. One soul saved to Jesus Christ is worth more than the whole world. And I say to you that if you are consecrated to God, soul, body, and spirit, He will use you. God designed that Edson, Willie, and your mother should work unitedly. It has been your own course of action that has brought round the condition of things that now exists in our being disconnected. When every effort has been made to change your attitude through the testimony of the Spirit of God to you, setting before you that your attitude and course of action were hurting our influence, in the place of setting your feet in the right path and making that change in yourself that God had plainly set before you, you withdrew from us. Thus you thought to remove the difficulty. But the changes essential in you that ought to have been made, and which would have brought you into light and into liberty and favor with God, you did not submit to make. You should have clung to us and united with us closely in the work until your whole moral taste would have been changed and your mind elevated by living in obedience to the will of God. The one mighty in counsel would have guided you into safe paths. I want you to see this point. You separated from us, not because we chose to have you do this, but because you wanted your independence and to do as you pleased. That way was your way, and not the way of the Lord. We were a firm, pledged to stand by one another. But you did not do this, and there was no other way we could do than allow you to do as you would. We do not think it wisdom to unite our interest again in business lines until you are ready to receive the correction of the Lord. Heed the warnings He has given you, and repent and be converted. If we do not blend together in our labor, it is not because we did not do to the very utmost of our ability to preserve the union the Lord has said ought to be, but because your own inclination led you to break pledges and agreements, and to walk in the sparks of your own kindling.
Now, if this course is continued in the future, as in the past, your soul will not be saved. There is no more hope of you than of the veriest sinner, and the woe will as surely come upon you as Christ pronounced it on Chorazin and Bethsaida, because they had been exalted to heaven in point of privilege, yet through their own independence and stubbornness had not been benefited by the blessings abundantly bestowed. The light has come to you from time to time through your mother, whom the Lord has chosen as His instrument to do a special work. You have manifested to those in Battle Creek that you cared naught for any of these reproofs and cautions given of God, but that you would steadfastly pursue your own way, irrespective of every consideration, earthly or divine. True, you have not openly in words denied the testimony given, but in action you have done this. It has all been laid open before me that the Lord will not continue to let His light shine to you to lead you in safe paths unless you repent and become obedient. You have become spiritually blind because you have not heeded warnings that the Lord, in His great mercy and love, has been pleased to give you. And now, my son, I hope you will not go on doing despite to the Spirit of grace any longer. I urge you to come back to your first love. I urge you to break with Satan. Submit to God. Die to self. Never give up the struggle until you know that for Christ's sake your sins are pardoned. You have made grave mistakes again and again in choosing your own will, and have brought yourself into difficulties. But look and see. Have you come out with confession that you did do wrong? No. If you had done this, you would have put up the bars behind you
so that Satan could not obtain access to you so easily again, to lead you over the same path of error, to wound and bruise your own soul, destroy your influence, wound the cause of God far deeper than you have the slightest idea, and cut off my influence with a large number. Now look at these things as they are, and then see if it is not your only safe course now to make, through the grace of Christ, a radical change. If you do not do this, you will go on, deceived by the enemy, and lose your soul. I consider your case perilous. You are my son, but no more precious in the sight of God than any other soul who is separated from him. Will you return to Jesus? Will you make thorough work for repentance? It is your only hope. I leave this with you. Don't throw it aside, as you have my many appeals, but consider and act decidedly for the right. Mother, August 1, 1892. I am sorry to report myself an invalid, but I write some every day. Mostly my writing is done while lying on the bed, turned upon my left side. I cannot lie at all on my right side. We were glad to welcome brother and sister Rousseau. They both had a pleasant trip, were sick some, but endured it well. Brother Rousseau gave me the account you gave him. I feel relieved, and I hope that you will not make efforts to enter into business on your own hook. I hope that you will consider carefully and prayerfully the will of God, and not get uneasy and rush into every enterprise to make it certain to others that you are a successful businessman. You have always blamed circumstances, and the enemy may present to you a flattering outlook. All this will I give you, if you will worship me. Matthew 4, verse 9. But have you not learned that he is a liar and a murderer? So now go to the Lord for your counsel. Make no binding engagements with anyone. Cut the last cord that binds you, soul, body, and spirit, to business. Seek the Lord. Do not look and expect help from any human source. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Will you yield your pride and your unwarrantable independence and seek the Lord? Cast all your cares and burdens upon him. Yoked up with Christ by solemn covenant, you will not yield your services to anyone, for you belong to Jesus Christ. If you engage in any business whatever, it must be under Jesus Christ, where you can have the uttermost freedom to make Christ first and last and best in everything. Now, if you will only surrender to God, making not one reservation, which ought to have been done years ago, in accordance with the light given you, the Lord will pardon your backslidings from him. I will make no pressure upon you for that money which you owe me, and the Lord will open the way before you. But when you rush on to open your own way, you take your case in your own hands and feel fully competent to manage it. You take counsel with yourself and walk in the sparks of your own kindling. We know not what to say to you more than this. When you fall all broken upon the rock, Christ Jesus, then your Redeemer can do something for you. He can mold and fashion you into a vessel of honor. Do not get impatient if you see manifest a want of confidence in you. You must go straight forward, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. No man has died to save you, and there is no man whose example you are warranted to copy. Jesus Christ has purchased you. You have him to please, him to serve with your whole, undivided affections. He can wash you and cleanse you. He can elevate and ennoble you. He can give you a name among the blessed, and he only is worthy to be served and honored. Mother, Edson, we will do anything in our power to help you into the light. And although I have written you plainly, I have done so while my heart is aching and longing for you to become one with the will of God. You cannot save your own soul. You cannot cleanse away one sin. The Lord alone can lift you up. Your noblest powers have become enfeebled. The Lord Jesus would carry your mind with his mind and bring into captivity every thought to Jesus Christ, that every power, every faculty shall be employed to do his work. Even the expulsion of sin is the action of the soul itself through the office work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my son, you have lived in an earthly atmosphere and can no more be saved if you keep thus earthly in thoughts, in words, in actions than the common sinner. For you have had great light and know the truth, yet are not sanctified through the truth. Your conversation has been largely of a cheap order. Oh, you could, by submitting your will to God, have become one with God. And to bring about this, the regenerating Spirit of God is at work to restore you to yourself and to God. I fear and tremble lest that will which has so often led you astray will arise now. And what will be the consequence, eternity alone will declare. You must now go to God for yourself. Now humble yourself before him, and never cease your seeking until you know that you are in harmony with heaven. Clear the rubbish from the door of the heart, and open the door to Jesus. What can I say more than I have said? My soul is distressed for you, but I must say no more now. Mother, my son Edson, do not trust in your own heart, but fear and love and obey God. Oh, that you would beware of everything that would have a tendency to deaden spirituality of heart, unfitting the mind for serious, thoughtful contemplation of heavenly and divine things. For them you will lower the standard of Christian duty before those with whom you associate, and work away from Christ in the place of gathering with Christ. There must be no conformity to the world, to its tastes, habits, customs, or principles. Jesus has called you to come out from the world and be separate. Let the Lord Jesus in to take possession of the soul. Ever should the Christian bear in mind, I am of royal extraction, a child of the heavenly King. Do not forget that you are bought with a price. Cultivate the idea that you have a noble heritage that the world cannot see. You can be in the world and not of the world. All cheap, common expressions and slang phrases do not become Christians, and in no case represent Christ Jesus. The truly converted soul that feeds on Christ will enjoy nothing of this kind of food. It will seem hateful to the moral taste of the soul, looking unto Jesus and beholding his matchless charms. If we feed on Christ, we shall impart to others in words and actions that which composes our spiritual life. All jesting and joking and trifling, all childish ways, will be seen and felt to be a savor unto death. Oh, is it not time your lamp was trimmed and burning? Is it not time that it shine to all that are in the house? Ask yourself, what hath Jesus done for me that I might have the gift of eternal life? What can I do for Jesus? Believe on him as your personal Savior. Then you will, through his derived virtue, be a laborer together with God. Oh, wondrous thought! You can win souls to Christ,
and from the labors in humility and faith in seeking to save them that are lost, you may bring joy to the heavenly host. He who loves the broken and contrite spirit will work with your efforts. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. John 15, verse 8. Mother.